GabFest Radio.
Did you ever wonder what they were really thinking? You're listening to The Ladies' Room. Say hi to your co-hosts, Marianne McQueen and Trish Twilley.
Good morning! Guess who it is? It's Marianne McQueen!
That's who it is! And hey, good morning! You sound so chipper. This is Trish Twilley.
It is the country world, isn't it? The cool country world.
This is the cool country world of Trish Twilley coming at you from Atlanta, Georgia.
And this is the Hollywood life. A little bit Kardashian, a little bit trash.
Oh, no, don't ever, ever compare anything about you to the Kardashians. Just don't.
Well, I got junk in my trunk, but theirs sits differently than mine now.
I keep seeing these pictures of Kim. That is on social media at least once a day. At least once a day, there is a butt picture of Kim Kardashian comparing her to Kanye's ex-girlfriend or who has the better butt. And, I mean, I spend my life trying to keep my butt from getting big. I really don't have any interest in saying who has the bigger, fluffier butt. Do you? But hers almost looks, when she's wearing white pants and she's got this butt thing on, she's got implants. It doesn't even look normal. Does it look normal to you?
No, it's an interesting thing that you say that. I got my nails done yesterday and I was talking to the woman who was doing them and we got to talking about butts. And first she told me how nice my skin was because I think she was going to try and sell me. And I said, honey, I just had my injection, so I'm good. But then we got to talking about this a woman that she knew, also a client of hers, had fat taken out of her tummy and put into her butt. And I said, girl, do you remember when we were really young? We just fought to have little butts and big boobs and a little waist. That's what it was, the Barbie thing. You look at Barbie. Barbie does not have a big butt. And that's what everyone was striving for, even though it was totally unrealistic. But we are today all about the big old butt, which is fine. But if you got it, you can do it you do squats in the gym. There's a lot of things you can do to get that nice old bubble butt. It's not for me, but I'm an older woman now. I'm a woman of a certain age.
I don't have a butt at all. And my daughter makes fun of me because she could totally be a Kardashian, and she, when she twerks, joking around, is hysterical to me. But I don't have a butt, and she never fails to tell me, Mom, you need to do some squats or something, because you kind of look like Miley Cyrus did in the onesie thing.
Oh,
and I never really even realized it, but I do sort of have a pancake butt, and I don't know if it's because I'm older, but I probably should try to fix this. I don't know. Maybe I should tweet Kim.
Okay, so here's what I think. First of all, I've seen you, and we're going to talk about your event that's coming up Saturday. I have seen you. You do not have a pancake butt. You don't have a big butt. You are proportioned. You're like, what, 4'11"?
Yeah. Yeah.
4'11", if you had a big butt, you'd fall down.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's exactly why I don't want big boobs.
Ah.
I've had a little bit of work done, and I've gone to visit and have a consultation with a plastic surgeon about boobs. But I do not, I've never talked to them about implants because I'm 4'11", and there's not a lot of space between my neck and my waistline. So if I had big boobs, to me, it just makes you look fat. So I just wanted mine put back at the home address. That's all.
That is so funny. Okay, so full disclosure, I have had my boobs done 3 times.
Oh, well, so you have 6 boobs.
I do. They're all over my body now. And I got 2 on my back, 2 on my butt, and 2 up front. But here's the mistake I made, and I have to admit, I made this mistake while living in Las Vegas. I had them done too big. And now, if I just want to wear kind of a dress without a belt, I look enormous. And I learned this from Dolly Parton. She, when she did that movie with Queen Latifah where she was wearing like a choir robe,
mm-hmm.
She said, uh-uh, you got to fit. Joyful Noise. She said,
yes.
You got to give me a belt or you got to fit it because I will look like I'm wearing a muumuu. And sure enough, I look like I'm wearing a muumuu. Now, I don't have a tiny waist, but my boobs are enormous. We're talking the double D train, you know?
I would look like a little fat girl, but, you know, yeah. Interestingly enough.
I'm a big fat girl, just so
you're not. Yes, I was fitted for my dress. They sent it from L.A. for this Dancing with the Stars event that I'm doing. And I sent them my measurements. They made me a dress, which ended up just being a nightmare. I looked like a bad ice princess. Oh. It was just really bad. The second dress was the wrong dress that I had picked out. They sent the wrong dress. So the third dress was the one I originally wanted. I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And I got all in it, and I had under my arms, I have this underarm side boob. So I had two extra boobs. So yesterday, me and my dance teachers were sitting there Googling how to get rid of boob spillage under your arms.
That's funny.
So I took three different kinds of duct tape to rehearsal last night. I didn't end up using it because it ended up being okay. But I don't know if it is a over 40 thing, but you know, if anything is just too tight or anything up top, you can be so small down below, but you have this underarm bra spillage mark. I hate that. If I could change one thing on my body, it would be that whole under your arm, like when you put a bra on and you have the bra marks under your arms to your back, that is just awful to me.
But what they say, so to interject, is that women who have that problem, and I know what you're talking about, it's an ill-fitting bra.
Yeah, so it was an ill-fitting dress that I did bust the zipper out of the night before. But I am going to say that when we tried to take the dress off the hanger before I ever got it on, I had to – it kind of stuck. So when I put it on, the teeth came out. So I took it off again and we got it fixed. But then when I took it to the seamstress to get it off, it just broke.
So did somebody punch the dress that the teeth fell out? I mean, what's happening there?
It was the teeth of the zipper. It was the teeth of the zipper. But just so you know, me and my dance teacher's wife, just for giggles, in the dressing room, we had some duct tape and we were going to try. We were watching a YouTube video right before rehearsal, trying to figure out how to duct tape down your boobs to keep the underarm spillage thing going. And I'm just so you know, in case you've ever wondered, pulling duct tape off of your boobs is, oh my God.
Sounds like a waxing.
It'll take your spray tan off with it too. So it was something else that was interesting, but I did not use it. I'm going to research this because I know that pageant girls do something with duct tape, and I don't want cleavage. I just use to make their boobs disappear.
So I know, and as a matter of fact, I have some somewhere upstairs. In the closet, it's a double-sided tape that is used for either halters or anything where you're wearing something that might be skimpy, but it holds your boobs or your skin right to the fabric. And I don't know that it does anything about extra skin.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. There's not a, if there was a wardrobe malfunction at all, somebody would lose an eye from a rhinestone. It's going nowhere. My boobs are not even moving. I just need the underarm spillage to go away. And I know there's a trick to do it. And I'm willing to do the whole duct tape thing. It kind of smothers me to think that that's wrapped around me, but you know, I almost can't breathe at the thought. But I will do it, whatever I have to do. I just haven't had time because of the deadlines that I've had to meet to research this. So if anyone knows how to get rid of boob spillage under your arms, please call in 310-919-4271 and help a girl out.
So again, and it's a good time to talk about that. We are a very social duo here on a radio, or we can be combative if we're disagreeing, but that's okay. That's why we want you to call us 310-919-4271. Again, for those of you who are a little slower, that's 310-919-4271. Or we're on Facebook, The Ladies Room Radio Show, Room is RM. Or on Twitter, The Ladies Room Show, RM. So let's start the show with a question. And you've got a question that's according to Ask.com, and it's our first contest.
It is our first contest, and but we really, if they win, if they call in to win, they have a really, really, really cool little prize that we're going to send out. So do you know what that prize is, or do you want me to tell them about it, about
the
tote bag?
I want you to tell them.
Okay. There is a really cute, I just had them made, so I'm really, really proud of them, tote bag. They're all black tote bags. And in the top, it says, in glitter, The Ladies Room Radio Show, GapFestRadio.com. And in little comic air bubbles, it says, with Mary Ann McQueen and Trish Twilley. We are going to be offering these on our website very soon. But if you call in with the correct answer to our question, we'll go ahead and mail you one out now for free. Are you going to ask the question, or do you want me to ask the question?
I want you to ask this question. I think it's a good one.
Yeah, because I sort of fall into this category. Well, let's see. The question is... Gosh,
I can read it if you want me to.
You read it because I only have the answer.
Okay, so this is according to Ask.com, 1 in 50 people in the world have these. What is it? So that's the question. According to Ask.com, 1 in 50 people in the world have these. So again, when you know the answer, call us 310-919-4271 and you'll win a Ladies Room Radio Show tote bag. So we'll be selling those soon, but right now you want to be the first cool kid on your block because cool kids carry tote bags.
Yeah, they. You know what? I have these because I have them here. I ordered them. I have been using them for everything. It's because I'm in the car going to dance and everything that I'm having to carry, dance shoes. Last night when I was going for dress rehearsal, I had dance shoes. I had makeup. I had glitter. I had three rolls of duct tape. But aside from my bigger bag that I carry, I've been using these little ladies' room tote bags just because they are so convenient to toss things in. I guess I've got two going right now of my own of just stuff because I live on the road. So they're very, very handy.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. You need a wife.
You need a wife
to take care of all your, you know, day-to-day needs and things, and not talking about, you know, cars.
I'm not interested. You know what? I'm not even interested in the sex. And I know that is a seller for a lot of wives. So they would want to marry me because it's just another chore that you have to do. So you can mark that one off, that you won't have to do that if you marry me.
So no sex needed. Just take care of the responsibilities of a good old-fashioned leave it to beaver. No pun intended, wife. So that's all I'm saying. I'm going to move on. So today is an interesting day. So again, while you're all mulling what 1 in 50 people have, it's International Animation Day. Who knew? International Animation Day.
So we should all draw cartoons?
I think we can all be cartoons. I'm going to be Cartman. Who are you going to be?
Who would you be if you were a cartoon?
Oh, who would I be? I would probably be, let's see, in real life, I'm Wilma Flintstone. But if I had to choose, gosh, I don't know.
I kind of think of you as... the Jetson daughter. I can't remember what her name is, but because she was really cool and petite and adorable.
Yeah, that was June. June was the wife, right? I think June Jetson.
Jane, his wife. Yeah, that's it.
And
daughter Judy. I know the song. Yeah. That's why.
Yes, and Elroy.
And I think I would be Betty Boobs. Boob. I mean, just older and bigger.
I love Smurfette. I could be Smurfette. I went as her in Halloween one time when I was about 9 years old. I was a Smurfette.
Oh, have the Smurfs been around that long?
I'm only 25.
All right. And another day, reasons to celebrate. If every, you know, it's hump day, but other reasons, it's Plush Animal Lovers Day. the day to celebrate your stuffed animal collection.
Oh, geez. Dust collectors is what I call them. And, yeah. And my youngest daughter thinks that wherever we go, she needs a stuffed animal. And at some point, you just have to say no. Did you ever do the Beanie Baby thing?
No.
Do you remember when people were standing to get the rare Beanie Babies, and there were only certain stores that would have them at the mall, and yep. people would be waiting for the store to open to go get those? That was one trend I did not fall into, and I'm so very proud of myself for that. You can pick them up now at any flea market for 25 cents a piece.
Exactly. I know that I used to collect vintage Disney toys, so metal ones, and actually sold those for quite a profit at one point. But I'll tell you that the Beanie Baby thing, I just didn't get. I don't understand why it got big, except whoever owned that company is probably very, very rich today if they got in, sold, and cashed out.
Well, I was never into plush animal thing. I was very maternal, even from when I was just very young. I played house all the time. I always had a baby doll. Always. I never liked Barbies. I never liked stuffed animals. Even if I had a new animal, a new puppy, a new cat, immediately I was taking that cat in my room and putting my doll's clothes on them. I was a mama. I just wanted to be a mama. And I carried my dolls. I remember being 13 and having a Real People doll, which later became Cabbage Patch Kids. But I remember my dad paid $110 for it back in 1981. It was a real New Year's baby from Xavier Roberts before he sold out to Coleco with the Cabbage Patch Kids. And I just always wanted to have the baby. I wanted the one, not anything that would do tricks, or I wanted the ones that looked like the little ball-headed babies. So that was what I was interested in. I never wanted to, you know, Barbie was always prettier than me and had real cool stuff. So I was a catty, jealous 5-year-old. I didn't want any part of her. I just wanted to take care of a baby. So I never got into the stuffed animal thing.
So this is what makes us a good pair on the radio, because I never, ever liked baby dolls. And I loved Barbie and her stiletto heels, her tramp clothes. I loved her sports car and her RV. And I had a collection. And quite candidly, after my mother died, I didn't know that I still had a whole box of vintage, and I mean Barbies, almost from, because Barbie and I are the same age, except she looks far better, but I think she's had her boobs done 5 times. But I still have a whole box of them. And
I have all of my babies. Most of the ones that were important to me.
That's different.
That's so many.
Sentimental.
Well, this is a funny story, that when I was 3, And I have a memory like an elephant. You would be shocked at what I would know. But I remember asking Santa for a particular baby doll when I was 3 years old. And, you know, when I was a kid, Santa would bring your one big present. You know, it was one thing. It's not like now the living room is full. But it was a little black baby. And that was what I wanted, was that baby. And I was 3, and I woke up on Christmas morning and I had this little Afro-American little baby, and I played with that doll. I still have it. I used to take, and I pierced her ears with real earrings, and I would take Vaseline and put it in her hair because I wanted her to have oil in her hair. I just wanted her to have oil in her hair. And I would take her hair and I would put little braids in it with those barrettes, you know, that would hang down. I still have her. Almost all of her hair is gone because I wore that baby out. You can still see where I polished her little nails. I must have carried her for years and years.
Wow.
If you offered me $1 million right now for that baby, I would decline.
I
still love it. And it's weird because you say you didn't play with babies, but my Real People doll that I have that my dad bought me, that, you know, everybody had to have, that, you know, I actually had to go to the doll store because, again, they were not Cabbage Patch Kids. They were still Real People dolls.
Right.
And I had to go adopt this baby. And I went through the whole adoption process of raising my arm. But I can still, and this, people are going to think I'm a total nut job when I say this, I can get those babies out right now and just put them up to my face and smell them. And there is just still a level of comfort that takes me back to when I was a kid. Maybe because that was my life. TV and video games and iPhones and things to distract. I had to use my imagination. So these babies were my comfort place and my real world. So I can still drag them out and just hold them or put them up, and I turn into a kid.
And that, it's so interesting. I think there is the comfort, the simplicity, the purity of childhood. And when you, and that's what brings that back for you, is those dolls. And for me, it's the Barbie doll. So I actually do get that, because I did have an older sister that I played Barbies with, but I loved, like, we didn't just have Barbie. Twiggy, who was a hot model back then, we had Twiggy and Stacy and Midge and Ken. And then they kind of screwed up Ken when they started giving him real hair. He looked like a chichichia. Looks like a what? Bruce Jenner. Hey, speaking of, let's change topics. Did you see the picture of Bruce Jenner celebrating his 65th birthday?
No, but I did not know he was 65. Yeah, I had no idea he was 65.
He was such an incredible athlete. 1980 Olympics, I believe, decathlon winner, was considered the greatest athlete of our time at the time. But in a picture posted by TMZ, of course it's TMZ, There is a picture of Bruce in a car, ball cap, oversized sunglasses, smoking a cigarette, which is bizarre in and of itself. But are you ready? I can't believe you haven't seen the picture. All his nails are done in red, or like a purple red.
You're lying. Really?
I'm not. I want everybody, we should just post that to our ladies' room page. But right now, you go to our ladies' room page on Facebook, you will see Bruce holding a cigarette, and there's no way it's a woman's hands. Those are man hands. Now, if I had any doubt in my mind that he wanted to be a woman, it's gone.
Really? So, you know, Kris Jenner was asked about that the other day in an interview, and they say she laughed it off. I didn't see the interview. I just read the teaser about it, but she thought it was funny that someone would even say that about him. But all signs are pointing to it's going to be Christina Jenner.
Yeah, and because
you know,
what real man shaves his Adam's apple? I mean, why is that important? Unless you're a female impersonator, maybe you make your living that way. I think that's okay. What?
Makes you faster on the running track.
Brian,
yeah.
Makes you faster. Now, yes, I don't know. Yeah, you don't carry that extra gobble gobble or something. I don't know, but it seems to me if that's what he wants to be, he should be and embrace that. And I think I will tell you this. If ask me, hey, is your man trying to be a woman? I wouldn't laugh. I would just say, oh my goodness, no. He's all man. Why would you just laugh it off? Think about that.
But why at 65 he be trying to do this now?
Okay, I can answer that. Because I have a number of transgender friends. Yes, I do. Of course I do. And I can tell you some of them couldn't come to terms, or didn't have the means, or knew that it might be, quote, disgraceful to their families. But I know people who didn't get to that place till they were well into their 40s. And so in this case, I think he may have tried to lead a traditional life, married, children, you know, big time athlete, Olympian. But if this is, you know, if he thinks he's trapped in a man's body and he feels like a woman, I got to tell you, he's a homely woman right now. But
yes, but I mean, at 65, I don't know. I'm not saying your life is over at 65 by any stretch, but wouldn't you have already come to terms with your sexuality by that point? It just seems to me at 65. I don't know.
I think when you're a public figure, it's got to be that much harder. because I know an executive at ABC Television who made the change, you know, not without a lot of thinking, a lot. And I must tell you, here to the management at Disney ABC, because they truly embraced her. And when I knew this person and worked with her, she was a he. And she has never been happier than she is today. So, and at least 50, at least. So I guess to each his own, but this is one of those things that's not, I think it's probably not a choice, but I think that because he's a public figure and Chris is essentially a madam, she probably didn't want her husband to be
her own children.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if he was a man, I'd say he was a pimp, but I think they're both madams. Anyway, moving on, and speaking of sports, because we just need to move away from his red nails. It's frightening. Congratulations to the Kansas City Royals. They kicked the bejesus out of the Giants last night and shut them out. It was 10-0. Game 6 of the World Series trounced. It was an embarrassing night for the entire state of California, and I'm sad. I really was rooting for San Francisco, but it was not to be, not last night. And so tonight will be game 7, deciding game of the series. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, even on the sixth game of a World Series, that wasn't the biggest baseball news last night.
What was the baseball news?
So former Major League Baseball player and current dumbass, Jose Canseco, shot his middle finger off while cleaning his gun. This in his Las Vegas home. Dumbass.
So I guess, was it his pitching finger?
Yeah, it was. That's funny. It was his social finger, for lack of a better term. And essentially, according to social media, and that's his girlfriend or his fiance. Everyone has a fiance. His fiance posted that doctors have said it will never be usable and likely will disappear. So he can't flip you off with that hand anymore. But I know, you know, maybe if he'd taken more steroids, he probably would be, you know,
he could grow another one with enough steroids. He may can just grow another finger.
There you go. It just like now gloves will just, you know, he's going to have a limp middle finger glove. I don't feel sorry for Canseco. I'm just saying I've never thought he was all that in a bag of chips. But anyway, we're going to get ready to take a break here. We're going to talk a little bit how I feel pervy. I'll explain why. A little bit more of Halloween discussions and how many talk shows are there. So the Ladies Room Radio Show will be right back.
We'll be right back in just a moment. We'll be right back. back to the Ladies Room.
And we are back with the Ladies Room Radio Show. Who are you?
Hey, I'm Trish Twilley.
I'm Marianne McQueen, and we're just talking trash this morning. We're talking toys. We're talking Bruce Jenner wanting to be a woman. It's International Animation Day. Okay, you know what I realized? I feel like a perv. And that's not good. I've never felt that way, and I have to tell you why. I watched The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon last night. And
love Jimmy Fallon. Love Jimmy Fallon. Can't say enough good about him.
And Daniel Radcliffe was on, otherwise known as Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. He's hot.
Really?
I feel disgusting. I could be his mother. He got up. He's got these great arms. And he was rapping. I mean, he was just so rapping. He was reading cue cards and stuff, but he was so smooth and so good. I mean, he wasn't Eminem or Macklemore good, but he had such great energy. But I couldn't, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm just like a dirty old woman. Because
I've never thought of him. You know, he did that nude scene after Harry Potter. Did you ever see that? I think it was in a play, maybe some
I have
profession
no interest,
he was in.
No interest
but he,
in his dangling
I never thought he was attractive or... Now, I did feel completely like a dirty old woman about Zac Efron. I was so happy when he turned 18, so I could finally look at him and say, oh, yeah, you're cute. But I've never thought that about Harry Potter, but I've never watched the movies either. And in my mind, he's still just a little kid wizard.
So it's interesting because that's, first of all, I've never seen a Harry Potter movie. But I remember, you know, I've seen all the ads and the pictures. He was an adorable little kid. He's a man now. And I'm pretty certain he's over 21, so I don't feel like a complete, you know, Mama June. But I'll tell you, though, he's really developed into a good-looking kid. Nice looking young man, clearly talented. I mean, again, he's making that segue from being a child actor to an adult one, and hopefully will do just fine and not wind up like Macaulay Culkin. Entire family is screwy, not to mention, I think he allegedly had a drug problem, but I'm just saying, I think he's cute. I think he's developed into a really good looking young guy.
He's 25 years old.
Yeah, I'm a pig. That's all I got
to
say.
But no. 25? No, not at all. I'm sure that his British accent probably makes him that much more attractive to me.
It's interesting. Oh, I mean, there are still young men who find me attractive, and I'm like, what are you, got a mother complex? What's wrong with your grandma? I mean, I don't quite get that, but you sort of wonder what happened to some young people who have a thing for really old people. And I'm not talking about an 18 or 20. I'm talking about 20-something guys who are into women in their 60s. What's up with that?
There was a show one time about that, and I watched it. And these were really young, good-looking guys, 20 to 30. And they actually only dated women over 60, 70. And this one really good-looking guy had a girlfriend who was in her 80s. And she had, just bleached out real short, almost like a pink hairdo. And you could tell that she took a lot of pride in her appearance, but she had osteoporosis, and she was kind of humped over.
Oh.
She very, very much looked older, but I don't mean any disrespect, I don't, but when they would do the scenes with them kissing, and it was almost like Anna Nicole and her husband kissing. It was just bad, bad, bad.
I don't quite get it, but again, it falls into that to each his own. I know that some people have mommy and daddy complexes, but I'm just saying, all I know is I think he is cute as a button, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So Halloween's, just a couple days away. And I know you're not dressing up this year. You got a lot of responsibilities. Have you ever dressed your dogs?
Yes, I have. A couple of years ago, we had a little pug. And it's a tradition that every year I have professional pictures made of in their costumes. And I've always made my older kids go, even when they were done dressing up, to have their photos made with my younger one, because it's just fair. Just because she's a little bit younger doesn't mean that they don't have to participate. So I still make them do Santa pictures. I still make them do Halloween pictures. Even if they're not dressed up, they're going to sit with her in that fall scene while she's got her costume on. It's my house and my rules. However, a couple of years ago, we had a pug, and all of my kids were dressed up, and they had the pug with them, and he was Superman.
Actually, he was
Spider-Man. I'm sorry, he was Spider-Man. I still have the picture. I have to show it to you. It's very, very cute.
So you have little dogs. I would have to get adult costumes for my dogs.
No, adult costume would not fit your dogs. You would have to get a costume for a horse.
A little polo pony. Because they probably average 140 to 150 pounds each. And wait a minute. That would put them in Walmart's big girl. What did they call it on there? They're big girl costumes, or they're fat girl costumes for Halloween. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
On their website, they have been busted by people. There is an entire section that they called, and I think they've since changed it, for fat girls or something. And like, listen, we know we're big. You can call us plus. You can call it women's. You could call it large and lovely. There are a variety of things you can call large women, but just calling them outright fat girl costumes just seems a little rude. Is it me? Am I wrong? Am I being too sensitive?
I'm stunned. You know what? If it was anything else, if they had categorized it as something for gays or lesbians or blacks or Hispanics or white or, you know, they, people would be screaming. If it was a Christian costume, or, I mean, people would just be blaring. But it seems like it's just okay to call women fat and to fat shame. It makes me sick. Don't even get me on the fat shaming thing with Hollywood and social networking. I will hurt feelings because I will always stick up for the fat girl, because it's very near and dear to me for many reasons. I have seen the struggles. I have seen the meltdowns in the dressing rooms. I have seen the tags torn out of clothes, ashamed of everybody to see them from girls that are very, very young. And when you watch someone melt down in a dressing room thinking they are so fat and disgusting, and the way they beat themselves up, I could go on for days about the fat shaming. It makes me sick.
And it's not good, as we well know. Not only is it not good for young girls and children, it's tough on women of any age. Because it never goes away. And it's typically directed at women. Men can be husky. They can be big and tall. Women are fat. And so I'm actually looking. So this was the story of a couple of days ago. Actually, it was yesterday. Walmart found itself sending an apology tweet. They did a lot of them, actually, after it was raked over the coals for a major goof on its website. For whatever inexplicable reason, the retail giant site featured a Halloween category titled Fat Girl Costumes. It's gone now, but it stayed for a good part of yesterday and long enough for multiple screen grabs. And the presence of the category was first reported by website Jezebel. And it's basically a collection of
because they want to be a fat whore as well, you know. So, you know, because it's always the whore and never the whoremonger, ever. So it's always the woman that they're going to put down and degrade. And then you've always got these women who will spend their entire lives trying to reach that level of perfection that just does not exist. It just doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
So instead of finding a happy place and being comfortable in your own skin, you have to constantly look in the mirror and think about what society may think of you or what society wants you to be. So you can never, there's always the fat girl, the big girl, the chunky girl, the slutty costumes, the, you know, you've got men who, well, they can be a cartoon character or they can be a construction worker, but you've got a sexy ladybug. I mean, what do men, do they just walk around and say, oh, that butterfly, I think I'd hit that. I don't even get it.
There was a viral video I saw yesterday, and I have to admit it was a good one. It was a group of guys. If I knew where to find it, I would tell you all. All six of you. But it was a group of guys, young guys, all trying on these sexy costumes, you know, the sexy ladybug, the Wonder Woman, all. And they're like, how could this possibly be comfortable for a woman to wear in public at a party? And I have to tell you, because you're right. Why don't we see, you know, other than a Chippendales costume, why don't we see guys, why aren't they walking around with little bikinis on or G-strings the way these costumes are out there for women?
So the same reason that women are exploited in movies, and there's always a nude scene with a woman. There's always a boob scene, and there has been forever. And not that I want to see a naked man. I have no interest in it. I'm just saying that the standards are so different with men and women. It's repulsive.
It sucks. And by the way, our good friend Raina Taylor, Raina's actually going to be a contributor here soon on the Ladies Room Radio Show. I bet you didn't know that, did you?
I did not.
And she just pinged me to let me know that we can find those guys trying on the ladies' costumes on BuzzFeed. So if we go to BuzzFeed and you look up guys trying on costumes and wait, now she's telling me, wait, and it's too late, Raina. We work in real time. We're uncensored. There's no 7-second delay yet. So we're done. But Raina is probably going to be doing a feature, a weekly feature. And we're not going to tell you what it is yet, but she is smart, sassy, and she be in SoCal as well. And she'll be representing. I really like her. So Raina, she is part of a little secret group that we have on Facebook as well. And that actually brings me to a topic. Do you belong to any groups? So not necessarily, you know, pages, but groups on Facebook.
No, I do not.
Oh,
I don't.
I
don't think I do. No one's ever invited me. I must not be one of the cool kids.
I actually belong to a number of closed groups as well as secret groups. And the cool thing about closed and secret groups is no one else can see your post. So if you really had a bad day and one of your Facebook friends just pissed you off, you can post it in that forum, so to speak, and see it. So I know I have one. I at one time had something called hyperparathyroidism. Yeah, don't ask. And I am still the admin of a group of a few hundred women who have or had this ailment and have had the surgery. So the reason I'm all about privacy, particularly as it relates to healthcare. So the group was public when I was first a part of it, and I hadn't had my surgery yet. I took it from secret, actually, to closed. So people can search for it. But if women want to complain, and it's primarily women, about an ailment, they can talk about, like, hey, is this a symptom of this problem? And they can talk really freely. Conversely, I belong to some St. Bernard groups, which are kind of fun because that's what I have at home. And as well as some other just kind of cool groups of women where we can say anything, post anything. And there's a whole subculture on Facebook that a lot of people aren't even aware of. So there you go. You're welcome.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew a lot about Facebook, but again, I guess I'm just not one of the cool kids.
I think you are. I think they're just jealous. They don't want you in their group because they know that you would probably be the popular kid.
You know what? I wouldn't let them sit at my table anyway. So there you go.
I never knew what table to sit at in high school, but that's a whole different problem. That, yeah, I was one of those weird kids, but I digress. Okay, here, let's talk about something else. Because I got a lot of stuff that I – do you watch talk shows?
If I used to watch them some during the day, before, I mean, when my kids were smaller and I had a little bit more time. At night, if I'm awake, I try to catch Jimmy Fallon, and that's about it.
So I never realized, because, again, we all pick our favorites. I was trying to make a list, and it's completely incomplete, of how many talk shows there are. And, again, we're not talking about court shows, so Judge Judy, Divorce Court, People's Court, not talking about any of those. Talking talk shows. So, again, daytime, nighttime, late night. So let's start with Conan. We got Conan. He's on. He's on TBS.
Mm-hmm. And his hair.
Oh, that hair. I used to run into him in Manhattan a lot when he was still shooting his show in New York before he moved to L.A. And he was really funny back then. And he actually even had more red hair. And I didn't realize how tall and skinny he was. He kind of looks like a redheaded Q-tip, but I'm just a carrot. Good one, Brian. Of course, we've mentioned there's Ellen DeGeneres. So Ellen does a great afternoon show, typically in most markets. I'm not syndicated. Jimmy Kimmel. So he's right up against Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's on ABC, and I would love to, and I think he's hilarious, quite frankly. And I also believe he's from Vegas. I'll try not to hold that against him. Late Night with Seth Meyers. I have yet to watch that. Have you?
I have watched it one time, and I have wondered if the NBC executives are kicking their own butts by putting him in that position, because he just does not have the energy or the – I can't feel it. I just did not love him on Saturday Night Live anyway. So I didn't really envision him sitting behind the desk at the Tonight Show, but I'm not impressed. I'm just not impressed.
Yeah, he doesn't make it for me. And then there's Letterman, who's been on forever and a day. He's on CBS Late Night, but he's retiring. He's kind of got that snarky humor, and he seems like a cranky old man. You think he's a crazy
man? I think he is. I think that's exactly what he is. I don't know. He just he kind of won my heart when he had open heart surgery. And, you know, and he was real emotional and kind of cried on there. I thought, oh, he does have a heart. But I don't watch him either. I like to laugh. I like people who make me laugh. I like to feel good. So I'm a total Jimmy Fallon fan.
Oh, hold that thought. I just opened something that was talking in my head. I want to laugh. I don't want to hear the snarky. And then flip side, we've got Live with Kelly and Michael. And again, we started with Regis and Kathy, Regis and Kelly. And then we have Kelly and Michael. I can't keep up anymore. Meredith Vieira has a show again. That's a syndicated show. The Talk.
Oh, what network is that on with Meredith?
She's syndicated.
I see.
So interestingly, I caught some of her show yesterday while I was getting my nails done. And she had on Annie Lennox, who looks more man than Bruce Jenner. And but she can still sing. The girl can still sing. But Meredith looking a little frumpy. I think she's trying to kind of blend in with most of America, because I think most of America at a certain age gets a little frumpy. So, but I didn't find it entertaining or compelling. The Talk, that's the one with Sharon Osbourne and company.
I can't stand that show.
I can take it or leave it. It's not bad. Hey, listen, I wouldn't turn down a job from them, would you?
Well, no.
Yeah, there you go. So that's a way to look at it, right? Then there's the Steve Harvey show. And I will tell you, I found myself, again, watching it only because I was at the nail salon. And I'll tell you that he was funny and a lot racier than I would have expected him to be during the day. So
I'm sort of shocked to hear that. I have just recently become a Steve Harvey fan. He does a lot of feel-good stories, and he is a – you say he was racy during the daytime, but I have found him to be a wonderful Christian man as well and gives back a lot. And I most of the pieces that I have seen online that I have watched – usually make me teary-eyed near the end because I have been a total fan of his. I mean, I've just totally discovered him and decided I'm a Steve Harvey fan. I really, really like him.
I'm still on the fence because I don't remember, so let me put that out there, if he cheated on his missus. I don't know if he's still with her or not, but that could fall under, I'm just saying. But I do, he's very entertaining, if nothing else. And he's a snappy dresser. And I think that's pretty awesome. Queen Latifah, have you watched her show?
I have. I've watched it once, and I only watched it because I knew that Dolly was going to be on there. But she comes on like in the middle of the night or something around here. You won't catch her on during prime time or daytime, you like a 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning show.
That's interesting. And again, it is by market because here I have found her to be on one local station late afternoon and then like 8 or 9 o'clock on another. So that's kind of interesting. And of course, there's still The View, which is...
Have you watched it with Rosie back on there? I have not. I keep forgetting that it comes on. I have not watched it. Have you watched it to see?
No.
Rosie and all of her wisdom. And
not a whole episode. I couldn't get through it. I just couldn't get through it. And then there's The Real, which I've got to tell you, if you haven't watched, you may want to. Because that is, I think The Real is better than The Talk and The View put together.
Who's on it?
It's so one of those twins that used to be on, let's just call it a more urban show, but and I'm not saying a black show, it's just real. It's no BS. It's women talking, keeping it very real and being funny and talking about pop culture, things that are topical without being preachy and without being too political. 'Cause I'm not interested in that. If I want political, I'll watch those Sunday morning shows. Which depressed
me. Yeah, so you've got The View, The Real, The Taste,
and now you've got The Fab is coming. That's another one coming with Tyra. The Talk. And then there's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. We can't forget that. And Craig Kilborn, who I thought essentially was dead, he had a test run on a show again. He tried to come back, The Kilborn File, but I guess it got killed off, but, and so it goes. All right. So we're going to get ready to take another break, but you know what? Nobody's getting that tote bag today. I'm just saying, because they still don't know what 1 in 50 people have in the world have these, but you know, don't you?
I do know because I have them.
Because I don't know what they are. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to The Ladies' Room. We'll be right back in just a moment. Now, back to the ladies' room.
We're back with the ladies' room. We're giggling here and talking about sex and rock
and roll.
Don't you
dare.
I'm just going to say this. I think with the new iPhone 6 Plus that cell phones are now the size, yeah, I'm going there. I'm going to do it, of male genitalia.
I don't even want to know how you know. Or maybe I do.
Is there a fly in your headsets?
In mine?
Yeah.
No, I haven't moved. Is there a fly in yours?
No, we don't know. Can you unplug and plug? Hey, this is live radio, people. I'm going to ask you to plug and unplug. Don't disconnect. Just plug and unplug.
Oh, that's what he said. I'll be right back.
Okay. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We need good jokes. All right, come on.
Oh, hello. I'm back. This is Trishy on the Ladies Room Radio Show.
Oh, sweetheart, you are as clear as a bell now. A church bell, no less.
A southern bell.
Bless your heart. Okay, this is a good time for a shameless plug as we get toward the end of the show. Tell me what's coming up. It's just a few days away now.
Oh, November my goodness. 1st. Yes, only a few days away. What we got? 4 days? 4 days till November the 1st and Dancing with the Stars of Cobb County. And I realized last night at the dress rehearsal that I'm behind and I need donations for Loving Arms Cancer Outreach. It is a nonprofit who helps people in our community with free hats, scarves, wigs, medication assistance, gas cards, grocery cards, support, mowing your grass, bringing you a meal, things that people tend to forget about while someone is going through cancer treatment and just trying to live. Me and my dance partner, Bo Foyster from Dance Tech and Talent in Kennesaw, Georgia, have been practicing so very hard to get ready to go on the dance floor Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Lassiter Concert Hall in Marietta, Georgia, to try to raise money for Loving Arms. And I need donations. I need you to text some votes.
All right. How do people do that? How do they text a vote? What number are they texting to?
They are texting Cobb Star 2. That is COBBSTAR and the number 2. And they're going to text that to 71777. It will take you to a link where you can donate as little as a dollar or as much as you want. But every dollar is a vote for me and Bo on the dance floor.
And every vote, it's not just even a vote for you. It's a vote for people who are recovering from cancer, who are dealing with cancer, who are going through treatment. And I know some of you think we're beating this dead horse. This horse is not going to be dead because we haven't found a cure for cancer yet. We have treatments. We don't have a cure. And when people don't go to work while they're getting their treatments, while they're recovering from all that nausea, they're losing their hair, their spirit feels broken, they're not getting their paychecks. So an organization like Loving Arms just kind of helps put some of the pieces back together while people are trying to recover. And so again, whether it's a wig to make somebody feel a little better when they look in the mirror, or whether it's having the grass mowed so when they're looking out their window and they don't feel well, it's like, okay, so gosh, somebody thinks enough to do that. Those donations make a difference. When somebody brings you a hot meal, when you can finally eat and not be sick, that's a part of what this organization does. And wasn't it started by two nurses?
It was two oncology nurses in Kennesaw Hospital who just saw a need. I think it started 3 years ago. So it's a baby, new little charity that they started. They were seeing these needs. What they were doing is they realized without each other knowing that they had been taking out of their own pocket with these patients because they would see a need. So they would secretly help them. When they started comparing notes, they said, wow, if we're doing this individually, think of what we could do if we did it together and brought in more people to help us, because there is a real need here. And so there you have it. Loving Arms was born right there in Marietta, Georgia.
Right there in Marietta, Georgia. So if people can also, there are still tickets available, because that theater is about 1,000 seats, isn't it, for November 1st? Well, be that as it may, tickets are still available for November 1st at 7 o'clock, and you can buy tickets and see Trish dance. You can go to the Loving Arms website, but we want you to give for Trish. She's been busting her butt, and I really would like you to do that. And now I'm going to do something real quick here. You're going to hear some clicking. You're going to hear clicking, and except I can't seem to find her. I can't even add her. Well, you know what?
Who are we clicking?
Oh, where did you go? We lost you.
Oh, I was here.
We didn't hear anything.
Oh.
We hate when that happens.
I hate. Well, see, what is the deal with the radio gods are mad at us today? I sit here in my little studio, and I don't move. And I still get in trouble. It's karma of some sort.
I don't believe that. You have nothing but good karma. Girl, you got karma in high heels, and they're comfortable. So what I was trying to do, okay, tickets are still available, right?
Yeah, I can hear you. Fine. Okay. Tickets are still available. They can call 770-590-5153. Or for more information about Dancing with the Stars in Cobb County, they can go to www.lovingarms.support.
And we should make sure that people who are listening to us and are going to give, let them know that it's for Trish. They're supporting Trish. That's my hashtag, support Trish, for this event. And I want you to get that credit, because you're busting your butt with your dance teacher. And what's the name of his studio?
He is Bo Foister at Dance Tech and Talent. He and his wife, Kristen, are dance teachers. It's a new studio. It is very nice. They have been gracious enough to try to help me learn to dance. Any experience whatsoever, their patience and long suffering has been so welcoming in my life. If nothing else happens, I have met really great people through this journey of doing this charity work for Loving Arms. It's been a very good thing.
And you also have a hair sponsor, as I recall, somebody taking good care of you there.
I do. Alicia Flemings from Fringe Salon and Spa right in Cartersville, Georgia. She has helped me try to get beautiful for Saturday, and I'm doing it on the house.
That is really cool. All right. And anybody else? I'm not plugging those dress people. I'm just saying
you don't have to, but we do have to mention Penny Cash, who is at Cassville Station, who has, yes. She did not only say, I'm going to help you, but she did it. She has had people donating things, cleaning out their garages, their homes, so, you know, things that may even be yard sale stuff that might be junk to someone else. She said, hey, bring it to me. I have a Facebook auction. I'm going to auction it off. So for the past month, I know that she's been gathering items. And on Friday evening, she started this Facebook auction and was going to run it through Sunday night, I believe. Maybe Monday night. I think it was Sunday night. And it was not a write a check to this organization. It was she literally had to work. She had to take pictures of this stuff. She's had to sit at her computer and run this auction for me and bet, you know, just keep on saying, what can you do? She listed Loving Arms and gave them lots of exposure. But from Friday night to Sunday night, she has raised over $800 for
wow.
Loving Arms. And for me. So I'm very thrilled. She is one of the very few businesses in my town who have said yes. And I want to give her all as much credit as I can, because she has totally, totally touched my heart.
With a name like Penny Cash, can anyone say no to her?
No. She's precious.
It's not Petty Cash. It is Penny Cash. Thank you. Shout out to Penny. Woo! And the rest of you, do I need to shame you? Because I will go to Brooklyn. I will shame your ass. Yeah.
We'll start tagging you in Facebook.
Tag you on Facebook and go, where's your money? Where's your money? Where's the money? We saw you at Starbucks 6 times.
Yes. Yes.
We know somebody in your family or your friend had cancer. You know you got friends with cancer. You know you got enemies with cancer. You don't want cancer. It's a karma thing. Just give a buck. You know what? I'm at the point, I don't care how you do it, but give. It's the right thing. Well, it looks like the clock on the wall says it's pretty much time for us to go. So we'll be back on Halloween with a spooky show. But we'll also have Vanessa McConnell doing her V News. That's hashtag V for Victor, N-E-W-Z, and her Vegas report. So you be sure to join us Friday, October 31st, Halloween, on the Ladies Room Radio Show. Bye, Trish.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Ladies Room.
Gabfest Radio.